Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
Does your life ever overwhelm you? Does it demand more than you have to give? Well, friend, perhaps today you need a fresh dose of the grace of God, God's sustaining strength in your life. He is strong in your weakness. Stay tuned on Daily in the Word as we study Grace for the Pace. Paul said he gloried in his infirmities because it was when he was weak that he most depended and saw the reality of God's strength. Friend, I don't know if today's broadcast has found you in a time of weakness or a time of being overwhelmed by the pace of life, but God has sustaining grace, and he wants to restore you and strengthen you and replenish you right now today. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Every Monday through Friday, you can join us right here as we study the Word of God together on Daily in the Word. You can also visit us online at dailyintheword.org to discover more resources to help you in your spiritual growth, including a complimentary daily devotional, scripture reading, and a word of encouragement from Pastor Chappell, as well as the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download this program free of charge and take it with you on your computer or phone or iPod and listen to it at your convenience. All of that and more is at dailyintheword.org. Well, let's turn now to God's Word, 2 Timothy chapter 2, God's replenishing grace. Here's Paul Chappell.
You see, when we are fearful, God says, I want to instill my power in your life. One of our customs as a family during the holidays is to take some time and go, and instead of just thinking, what do we get or how much can we eat, how can we be a blessing to someone else? And sometimes we've gone to the rescue mission, and we've sung songs or preached, or sometimes to a hospital or other different types of things. A few years ago on Thanksgiving Day, we went up to Antelope Valley Hospital, and there we visited one of our members who was very sick, Brother Jack Sexton. And we stood there, and I read the scriptures, and I talked to Brother Jack, and we sang some songs. He had some songs that he liked very much and some hymns, and we sang those songs to him. And we were trying to be a blessing to him, and there he was. His body was filled with sickness and problems. And after a little while, he said to me, he said, Pastor, would you get my Bible off the shelf there? And I gave him the Bible, and he began to read verses to me that had come to mean much to him. He said, I want to show you what God taught me from the Bible. I want to show you something that he said you preached a few years ago. He had it underlined. He said, that's really been a blessing to me in my life. And over the next several minutes, he was sharing with us what God had put in his heart. And I realized that though his body was weak, his faith was dynamite faith. God had put a power within him that was only from the Spirit of God. When we're fearful, God says, I want to give you power and love and a sound mind. And then when we're weary, God says, I want to give you strength then too. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16 is a verse that I have often drawn from and has often been a blessing to me. And it says in 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish. You ever have a day where you're just completely tuckered out? The body that you live in says, hey, bud, pull over. There's a rest stop. We need to spend some time there. Sometimes the outward man perishes. But notice the rest of the verse. It says, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. We are replenished daily by the grace of God, by the Holy Spirit of God. I'm glad that my life is more than just this body. Now, you'd never know that by the magazines at the checkout stand. All they emphasize is self and physique and the body and the glamour. But you are more than a sack of bones today. You are a living soul that God has created. And God loves you. And he wants to encourage your heart today. And he wants you, when you are weary, to know inwardly that there's a strength that he and he alone can give. I heard of a father and a son who were out at the store shopping, and the dad gave the son one of those little shopping baskets, and they were walking along. They got some peanut butter and some jelly, and he just kept putting stuff in that basket. After a while, the little fellow's kind of leaning a little bit, and a lady walked by and said, "Son," said, "that's a pretty heavy load for a little guy like you, isn't it?" And he looked up at the lady, had a resolute look in his face. He said, "Oh, don't worry, ma'am. My dad knows how much I can carry. And I'm glad that I have a father in heaven who knows how much I can carry. And I'm glad that he gives me grace and strength when the load seems a little bit heavy. His grace replenishes our strength. Be strong in the grace that is in our Lord Jesus Christ." Notice secondly this morning, his grace replenishes our spirit. His grace replenishes our spirit. Have you ever noticed, even with Christian people, that through the years of trials and overtime and raising families, that sometimes people can have a spirit that once was good, happy, excitable, and now it's just kind of downtrodden and negative, and their spirit is not what it once was. I think the greatest intangible that we need in our homes and in our church is that spirit that is right with God and anticipating God in faith. But sometimes that too can diminish. I remember when we were in high school, we played basketball. The cheerleaders on our side, they did this little cheer. I can still hear it right now, just standing here, Brother Smith. And the cheerleaders would always say, "We've got spirit. Yes, we do. We've got spirit. How about you?" And they'd say it to the other side. And they had spirit, and they were excited. Well, I want to ask you this morning, how about you? How's your spirit? How's your spirit today towards the things of God, towards the people of God, towards church, towards ministry? How's your spirit? And you see, some Christians feel like they've been burned, and so they exemplify that in their spirit. And some feel like, you know, I've been at this a long time, and they've been let down maybe in some way, and it comes out in their spirit. And I'm going to tell you what, life does that sometimes. Trials come, but God wants to replenish your spirit. He doesn't want you going through life grumpy and with a frown on your face and kicking the dog and the cat. Well, maybe the cat, but neither. He wants you to be nice to everybody, doesn't he? He wants you to have a good attitude, and he wants our spirit to be right. Now, how does he replenish us? Two thoughts here. First, from doubt to faith. God wants to take your life from doubt to faith. Now, I want to tell you a quick story in the Bible, and I'm going to ask you to turn to Philemon. I'm going to show you a man who had a lot of doubt and whose spirit wasn't just right. And I won't go through all the verses in Philemon, but I'll tell you the story briefly. Philemon was a Christian man in the first century who'd been led to Christ by the Apostle Paul. He had a servant named Onesimus. Onesimus had run away from Philemon. Onesimus ran away, and he was a slave in the first century Roman Empire, but he was tired of Philemon, and so he ran away. Well, one day in a prison, he met the Apostle Paul. And there, the Apostle Paul led him to Christ. And so Paul now writes a letter to Philemon on behalf of Onesimus. And notice, just by summary, in verse number 18, what Paul says. He says to Philemon, "If he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account." By the way, that's what Jesus did with your sin, isn't it? Amen. He says, "Put that sin on my account." And then he says here, "I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides." He's saying, now, Philemon, remember, I'm the one who led you to the Lord. So remember that when you're considering the forgiveness of Onesimus. And then he says in verse 25, notice this, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your," what's the next word say? Spirit. Amen. He said, "Philemon, I know that Onesimus has hurt you, but I'm praying that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ will be with your spirit. Don't let your spirit reflect that hurt. Don't let your spirit reflect a bitterness towards Onesimus. May the grace of God be with your spirit." And many Christians today, and some will even talk about grace, but their spirit doesn't reflect it. And he says now, "Philemon, I want you to be challenged that God's grace can help your spirit. And it can take you from a place of doubt and questioning to a place of faith. God wants you to be strong in your faith and believe that Onesimus has been a changed man by the gospel of Jesus Christ." Not only does he want us to have a change in the area of faith, but notice secondly, from discouragement to hope. From discouragement to hope. God wants to replenish a discouraged spirit and make us into a hopeful spirit. And he wants us to come to this place of knowing that he is at work on our behalf. Notice if you would in your notes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 16 what the Bible says. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through, what's the next word say?
Grace.
Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. God says now, he says, I want you to know that you have hope because of my grace. And he says, you have comfort and you can do every good work and say every good word. Why? Because of the grace of God. When there is sickness, you can have a good word. When there is a trial in your family, still, you can have a good word and a good work through the grace of God. Nothing humbles me more than to visit someone struggling with cancer and to have them say to me, I know God's at work in my life. I know God has a reason for this. Nothing exhibits God any more than seeing someone in that valley and seeing their faith strong and hearing them say, I know that God is with me, and hearing them say, Pastor, the Lord is my shepherd, and yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he's with me, and his rod and his staff, they do comfort me, and he's leading me to the still waters, and he's leading me to the green pastures, and they're saying with their very life that God is replenishing their spirit, and God is giving them a strength that only God can give. His grace will replenish our strength. His grace will replenish our spirit. And notice finally this morning, his grace will replenish our supply. I don't know about you, but at our house with a 21-year-old son and with a 15, almost 16-year-old son, we go through groceries. I mean, it's like cattle grazing at our house. I mean, the supplies run out fast. They don't just have a glass of milk, they have a half a gallon of milk. And I mean, it just goes fast. And I'll tell you what, we've got to run and resupply all the time. But you know, in your life, sometimes your strength runs out. Sometimes your spirit may diminish. Sometimes there may be other things that you step back and you realize, you know, I've got some great needs in my life. But thank God the Bible says he wants to supply your needs. He wants to supply my needs. I want you to see the greatest need you ever had and how God supplies that need. God supplies forgiveness by his grace. God supplies forgiveness by his grace. God knew your greatest need was not economic. God knew your greatest need was not educational. God knew your greatest need was not entertainment. God said your greatest need is that you might have the forgiveness of sin. And by my grace, I'm going to meet that need. Though it's undeserved, though I don't deserve this forgiveness, yet God provides it. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8, we read these words. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And by the way, I don't care how long you've been saved, don't ever get over these verses right here. For by grace are you saved. Here we are reminded we didn't deserve to go to heaven. Why? The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says in Romans 5 and verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. In summary, we were born with a spiritual death sentence upon us. We were born separated from God because of the sin that had come into the human race by Adam's line. And yet God looked at us as a sinful people, and God said, I love them, and I want to exhibit grace towards them by offering forgiveness. And I will pay for their forgiveness by dying on the cross and shedding my blood for their sin. One of my boys asked me when he was younger, said, Dad, what's the crimson flow? What's the crimson flow? He heard a song about the crimson flow. I said, son, the crimson flow is the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for our sins. The crimson flow that was shed for our sins. You see, the forgiveness that Christ offers allows God's righteous demand to be met because God's demand for a payment was met at Calvary. That is why Jesus is the only one that can offer forgiveness and how we thank God for it. And we thank Him that His forgiveness is provided freely by grace. You'll notice it says in verse 9, not of works. Now, religion is filled with works, and churches are filled with works for salvation. In other words, if you do this and this and this and this, you'll get saved. And if that's not enough, we'll pray for the repose of your soul to try to make sure that you get up. We have some religions that not only have people working for salvation, but they get others involved in working for their salvation. And it becomes a system of works as opposed to a relationship of grace. And the Bible says we're not saved by doing things. We're saved by believing that what needed to be done was done on the cross of Calvary. And that nothing else must take place except my faith in God's gracious work. There's a cemetery not far from New York City where there is a particular gravestone that has just one word on it. It doesn't have the words of the name of the person. It doesn't have their date of birth, their date of death. It doesn't have any family lineage or eulogy. It literally has one word on it. And the one word on the gravestone is forgiven. Forgiven. By the way, how many of you know that more important than anything that could be said about you is that you are forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ? There was a little boy standing outside of Buckingham Palace. He wanted to go in and see the king. Oh, how he wanted to go and see what it was like in there. He tried a few times to get through, but the guard said, stop, son. And they rebuffed him and put him back. And he was standing there and kind of teary-eyed. And he just wanted to go in. He was just a curious little boy. And as he stood there crying, all of a sudden, a man came by. He said, son, what are you crying for? He said, I want to go see the king. Well, that man put his hand out, and that little boy put his hand in the man's hand. They walked right past the guards. They went right into the throne room of the king. What a wonderful experience that must have been. By the way, that little boy put his hand into the Prince of Wales' hand and walked in to the throne room of the king. I'm thankful that though I was unable to enter into God's presence, and though my sin separated me from God, I'm thankful that God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that He extended His hand of grace to me, so that when I trust in Jesus as my Savior, I then can come into the throne room of God, and I can have a relationship with God, not through this church, not through any church, but through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. God supplies forgiveness today. That's the greatest need we have. I know you may not convince a junior high boy. He may think it's a Big Mac. Someone else may think it's something else. But the greatest need of our life is forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Notice this. Not only does He supply forgiveness, but God supplies help. God supplies help by His grace. You know, sometimes the Lord calms the storm. And sometimes He lets the storm rage and He calms His child. And God wants you to know today that as a Christian, you say, I've already received His grace for salvation. Then as a Christian, when the storm comes into your life, that He's going to give you the help you need. Now let's turn to Hebrews this morning. And this is one of my favorite portions of Scripture. And I told my wife last night, I said, honey, I think I'm preaching to myself tomorrow. I'm not sure, but I'm sharing a lot of my favorite verses tomorrow in the message. And this is one of my favorites. And I hope it's one of yours too. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14, notice what the Bible says. Hebrews 4:14, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Now, folks, with all due respect to the religions of the world, some recently celebrated, may I say to you this morning that the focal point of this church, as the head of this church, is Jesus Himself. He's the head of the church. In fact, He is the high priest of the church. And the Bible says this, that Jesus is our high priest. Verse 15 says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are. And here's what separates him from all other people, and that is that he was without sin. So our high priest was tempted, but he never sinned. He could not sin, for he was God come down in the flesh. Now notice verse 16. Let us therefore, based upon Christ's perfection and his availability as the great high priest, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, and here's the key phrase, and find grace to help in time of need. God says, when you need help, I've got grace to help. I have dunamis power. I have a release of my spirit's strength into your soul, into your spirit. And when you need grace to help you in your time of need, I have that supply for you. Grace is that by which the soul is supported after it has received mercy, and by which it is purified from unrighteousness and upheld in trials and difficulties and enabled to prove faithful unto death. Listen, even in the Bible, a lot of people didn't finish well. If we are going to finish this race well, if we are going to be a church and a people who keep this sweet spirit and who keep the strength that is needed and who finish our course well, it will only be by the grace of God. It will not be because of a wonderful teacher or pastor or church family, though God will use these things. It will be primarily because when you were saved, you were born again by the Holy Spirit, and you allow the Spirit to have freedom, to comfort and strengthen and energize your life. And this is God's plan, to give you grace to help in time of need. I heard the story of a young boy who had in his home a shoebox. And inside the shoebox, he had some grass and twigs. And he had the cocoon of a moth right in the middle, large cocoon. And he was a curious boy, and he couldn't wait till that cocoon would someday open and that moth would come out. Day by day, he watched. And finally, he saw the cocoon had a little opening. He looked inside. He saw some bright orange color. He knew the time was coming. And then he sensed over the next few hours that there was a real struggle going on for that moth to get out of there. So he just reached down and very carefully he widened the opening of the cocoon. And sure enough, the moth came out. But as he watched, the little boy noticed that the moth's wings were real shriveled up. He couldn't really move them very well at all. Something was wrong. And the boy had not realized that the struggle of the moth was necessary in order for the muscle system of the moth to develop, and that in his attempt to relieve the struggle, the boy had crippled the future of the creature. And sometimes we're going through trials and we want to quit church and we want to quit on our family and we just want to pull over and quit on life. And yet the fact of the matter is God has allowed that trial so that we might exercise our faith in Him, so that we might grow in grace, so that we might be more used by Him and for His glory. Oh, that we would recognize the great need of our life is not for God to take every problem out of our life. The great need of our life is to have the power of His Spirit working within our hearts each and every day. God says, be strong in my grace. Paul says, Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in our Lord Jesus Christ. God's grace will replenish your strength. And God's grace will take a bad spirit and make it better. And God's grace will supply your need for salvation and your need for strength and comfort during the trials. May God help us today to grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. Dr. Chapel teaching us through a series entitled Grace for the Pace. We're discovering God's fresh, sustaining grace. You can find out more about this series and previous Daily in the Word programs when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You can subscribe to the Launch Out at His Word daily devotional, read through the Bible in a year, and receive a daily word of encouragement from Dr. Chapel and from God's Word every day in your email box. That's completely free of charge. You can also download Daily in the Word and take it with you via the podcast. Place it on your phone, iPod, or computer, or refer a friend to listen to Daily in the Word. All of this and much, much more is found at dailyintheword.org. Dr. Chappell invites you to join him and a host of friends August 9th through 16th, 2014, for a marvelous cruise to Alaska. 7 days of adventure aboard a beautiful cruise ship. You'll enjoy the beauty of God's creation, the fellowship of Christian friends, and some great Bible teaching and preaching. Again, that's August 9th through the 16th, 2014. Now is the time to register and reserve your place on the ship. You can find out more about the cruise and get questions answered when you visit us again at dailyintheword.org. The other thing you can do is give us a call, toll-free. Our number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell personally and follow his ministry, be sure to visit his blog at paulchappell.com. That's paulchappell.com. If you're interested in his books and other resources for spiritual growth, be sure to visit strivingtogether.com. Hey, thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.